Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, when I was young, fraud consisted of fake IDs to buy booze, forged signatures on parental consent forms, and of course, the occasional prank phone call. Needless to say, times have changed. For example, according to the FBI, Americans lost $5.6 billion to cryptocurrency fraud. Last year alone, that's a 45% increase in just 2 years. So you ask yourself, are scammers getting clever or are we getting dumber? Well, the jury is still out. Our very own Mike Hawk brought us a story yesterday of a French woman who was duped out of $850,000 when she was convinced that she was dating Brad Pitt. Yes, that Brad Pitt. Now, this woman, believe it or not, she divorced her millionaire husband to pursue this. In fact, she did not figure out that she was being scammed until she looked at a tabloid and saw a picture of Brad Pitt with his current girlfriend. Now, according to the Global Anti-Scam Alliance, the Brad Pitt scam that covers 3 of the 9 latest scams you need to be aware of in 2025. That would be an AI scam, an imposter scam, and a romance scam. Yeah, we'll share the other 6 scams coming up, but one type of fraud that doesn't seem to affect most people, check fraud. And that's based simply on the fact that most people don't write checks. Anyone here write checks? Miles, you still write checks? How many do you think you write a year?
Oh, 20, 30 maybe?
Okay, I was going to say, believe it or not, the average American still writes 30 checks a year, and believe it or not, we write more checks than any other country, and therefore check fraud is still up 400%. Basically, fraud and scams, they're up along any metric that you want to measure. It can be the Brad Pitt lady. It can be counterfeit merchandise. It can be a forgery. And that's what today's question is, today's question brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. We want to know, who got scammed, duped, or taken advantage of, and how?
Be part of the big show. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the chills, away we go. Welcome to Season 19, Episode Number 4,243. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve, I don't know how you do it. You find people doing bad things in the news. You bring us 3 stories each and every week. It is up to us to determine, of the 3 stories, which one actually sucks the least. How are we looking this week on Who Sucks Less?
Well, you know, like in a week, it'll annoy you, but basically we have 2 insurance-related stories. I know you're not going to believe. Can you believe that insurance companies might be scamming people? I know. I hope you're sitting down when you heard that.
We could use this for the question.
And, God, you could do that all day. And then one, just people and their drones. There's a good time and a bad time to use your drones.
Okay.
And it shouldn't have to be explained to you.
That's right. Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30. Also, a quick reminder here, your shot at 5K a day is right now. All you need to do is listen to us for 1 hour on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. And be sure to sign in. You're automatically registered to win your share of $5,000 a day.
Just that easy.
It is. And it's not a scam. I mean, that's a real thing. I mean, you can actually...
Well, we don't think it's a scam.
Win $5,000.
At the company, they seem like they're on the level when they say this, but I guarantee nothing.
Mike, have you ever thought about just logging in there on your phone during the show and seeing if you could just, you know, pull off $5,000?
Absolutely, I do. But I can't do it. I'm with the company.
Because that's a scam job.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you think I could scam the company.
Do you think they would do the research on that?
I think if Mike's name pops up, they'll be like, I think he works here.
Do you think they put that name in the database?
Did your wife take your last name?
No, she didn't. See there?
Yeah. We're not talking about it.
But
we're not talking about it.
But you're logged in with your legal name, you see.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, will they know that?
That's what's on your paycheck.
Yeah, that's what's on the paycheck.
That's how they get you.
That's on the W-2 they're going to send me.
Yeah, that's how they get you. $5,000 a day. Just listen to us at Odyssey.com if you're at work or on the Odyssey app. Either way, 1 hour gets you automatically qualified to win that money. Okay, today we're going to talk about who got scammed, duped, taken advantage of, and how did that happen? And look, it might be something that you are somewhat embarrassed of, but it's feasibly, it's touched each and every one of our lives to some degree, somewhere along the line. Whether that was a parent, an elderly grand person that you know, it should be you opening up an email that you know damn well you probably shouldn't have clicked on. We get constant reminders, constant updates as far as...
And constant emails.
Yeah, just our own emails as far as how to protect the company. Because at one point in time, there was a group who knows where... That was basically just hijacking, you know, companies' IT stuff.
Right.
And then saying, like, look, man, you need to pay us cash, and we will either restore or get your stuff back or whatever.
They're going after the big, big companies. Yeah. You know, the insurers and the Equifaxes of the world. We actually do have, like, mandated training on the stuff. Yeah. Every few months, they send us stuff.
And it is helpful.
It is helpful. Because I know nothing about anything when it comes to tech. So you go through it, and it's pretty common sense, these videos they give us. And you go, okay, but... The one they sent us was about the phishing schemes, I guess it was. So like, click here for your chance to win blank. And they're like, look, you know, just as a company policy, we don't do that, blah, 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 blah. But on that same email, the same training module, as they called them, that they sent us, it was, by the way, as an Odyssey employee, if you click here, you'll be entered to win, I don't know, it was like a pair of earbuds or something. So I'm thinking, all right. So this thing is about not falling for the scam of someone promising you an enter to win. But on this module, should I so choose, I can click here for my chance to enter to win. So I didn't do that one for a good long time. And then finally, they send you the email. It's kind of like in red type, like, hey, seriously. And I sent them an email back and said, man, this whole thing's about phishing. So I assumed that the test was whether I was stupid enough to click on this offer that you guys made. I knew that wasn't the case. I was just trying to get out of it. And they came back with a quick little blurb like, we didn't really think about that at the time, but get the goddamn thing done. So I did.
I think a lot of them are fishing. You gotta wait till you get to that final notice.
Because then it seems that's how you can get me.
That's how I confirm it.
You send me the angry red one that says, like, look. Right? Because I'm going to click on that one because I know you. And then I'm going to find out that's the scam.
Well, when it's in red, we know it's inside the company. Right now, it could be from anybody, Mike.
Exactly.
And think about the text.
Because I'm waiting for my red run on the latest one. I get a reminder every day, like, hey, this training module's been here since October. We need you to do it. But, and I'm not making this up, because it's not quite any red text yet, I haven't gotten to it.
You're waiting for Castle to come around the corner like, hey, get that doggone thing done, man.
Well, you get the email from him that just says, do I need to say anything else?
So right now, okay, just right now.
Or you just don't open them. Be like, no, I haven't read that.
Right now in my work email,
all right?
This is just my work email. I have 159 spam emails.
Oh, yeah. That's all we get.
Now, some of these, believe it or not, a lot of the times you think, man, oh, man, they didn't read my birthday email or whatever. I will go through this like once a week and realize, yeah, one just fell through the cracks. And it's from a week ago. And for the most part, that's why if we're here, that we didn't get your email. Because it went into my spam. Now, if I look at my personal email account and get into that, the spam is a lot more personalized. As far as all of the things that, for an example, let's
you
see.
You like
big. Yeah, I mean, well, believe it or not, I got one of those. I actually did get one of those that basically said, we know your porn history.
Oh, no.
I got one of those,
we know what kinky things that you are into.
Okay.
Send us X amount of dollars
and we will not release the videos that we have of you. I'm like, you don't have any videos.
That is exactly what I got a couple of months ago. And I said, the reason I know this is BS is because where I choose to surf my porn is not what you're saying.
Right. Correct.
I just don't respond to any of them. Sometimes you'll get a text that's just like, your package hasn't arrived. And you can just tell, like, there's just something a little off with it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, but like anything, you send out a million and you see who bites. I got one on my phone the other day for something I don't own. I can't remember, but it's like, hey, man, you have an unpaid bill, unpaid parking fine on your some kind of vehicle I don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, but if someone does own that type of vehicle, I could see that they might click on that.
I did almost get caught, 3 years ago. I'm at a bowling alley. I had literally just saved a child from choking with the Heimlich maneuver. So kind of frazzled. I'm there with a group of people. It's just chaos, right? You know, you have there's 8 kids running around, blah, blah, blah. So I get this call and it's like, hey, your power bill is overdue. And it's like, we're going to turn it off, right? Now, unfortunately, growing up, we had had utilities cut off before.
You've had the experience.
Correct. Yeah. So that's the last thing you want to go through, right? And in my head, I'm like, man, maybe I didn't pay it right away, but there's no way it's that late.
Sure.
But the guy's talking me through it. I'm outside the bowling alley, and I mean, I almost fell for it. But then it was like, well, you can't pay it at any location. You got to give us your business or your bank info.
Right.
That's what I was like, hang on.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Come on, man.
Right. Something is not right here. But, I mean, to their credit, they're good. I mean, I think of myself as a pretty intelligent person when it comes to that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I almost fell for it.
I think everyone almost falls for it up until the exact point that you said. Once they ask for your bank info, it's like, okay, this is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the chances are they're pretty good at their script. But, right, once they ask for bank info, like, this is out.
Here's one from AT&T. They say that I owe $421 on a past due balance of $288. So if I pay the $288 to wipe away the $421 bill.
Well, let me guess, you're on Verizon.
I don't have AT&T.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's similar to, you know, I'll get a text message that says your Bank of America card has been hacked.
Yep.
I don't have a Bank of America card.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, I'll get one from Citibank. We can go on and on and on and on and on.
Until they find the bank.
Exactly. They just don't know what bank account that I actually use.
Someone here on the text says, I got a call from a guy saying that he was from Customs and my package needs to be cleared. And I said, oh man, you guys are holding my cocaine. And he hung up on me.
Really?
It's a good move.
Okay. Well, we start with the...
I mean, there is ways you can kind of scam people in normal life, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like not like money or stuff, but you need something done. Hell, I'll just say it. In the last couple of years, we'll just say I had to have somebody served. So there's a way to be like, yeah, we'll meet here. Like, there's no chance I was going to meet them.
Yeah, no.
I just need to make sure that person was at that spot for this lawsuit.
Okay. All right.
So I mean, it's kind of scamming them.
Well, no, but you just need to make sure it gets done.
Yeah.
So one way or another.
It's a scam, but it's a scam for the good. I mean, think about, what was it, To Catch a Predator.
Okay.
Right? I mean, it's a scam, but you're getting a pedophile off the street, so nobody felt bad about it.
Yeah.
Right? Half the sting operations are based primarily on a scam.
How weird is it to be on the good side of that part?
What do you mean?
It's a sting operation. You know,
right.
You're catching a predator. You're catching a pedophile. Well, that means you have to pose as somebody.
You do.
Yeah.
I would think the worst part of that job.
I'd feel gross.
Depending how long it takes for them to agree to it. Because, like, in your head, you send a message and they go, yeah. As opposed to the 3 or 4 days that you have to communicate with this person to hearing whatever's going on in their brain and they're sharing it with you. Like, that's got to be a gross moment. But then I got to think when you finally bust them, you feel that much better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a lighter note. We're talking about technology that people just don't really are not into. And Ted, you said the QR codes, you never like them on the menus. They don't work on your phone or all that stuff.
I'll just look up the website.
Mm-hmm. That, me too. Because I have read enough to know that, you know, a lot of those QR codes, they have the potential to be pretty damaging and dangerous. And the last thing I want is for my identity to get stolen, because I've known a couple of people who that has happened to.
Or would they get you with the QR code?
And it was absolutely living hell for them to try to figure out how to get out of it.
It's not going to be at the restaurant, because the restaurant has a business to protect. But they said the one that gets me now is a lot of the parking places. Right, because God forbid you just give them money to park your effing car. You have to go through 800. Like, by the time you are done setting up the thing to actually pay your parking, you would have already gotten a ticket, right? But they put their QR codes over the actual QR code sticker for it.
Right.
So you don't know. You just want to pay for your parking.
Like, it's like a skimming device on an ATM machine at a convenience store.
Yeah.
Or the gas station. Or wherever it
happened to my cousin.
What,
he got skimmed?
Yep.
And what happens after that happens? Is it just uncontrollable expenses from everywhere? Is it
correct? Same thing. He walked over to the store by the hotel. I feel bad. His hotel's in my hometown, and the car got broken into. And then they found it. The next morning, he wakes up. He's got all these alerts, and he's like, "Oh, that's not me." The only dumb is the people were just paying bills.
Really?
So they scammed his. They scanned his card, but then they paid their own bill. So it's like it's not going to be hard to figure out who you are.
But in those fake accounts, right? I mean, but come on, man. No, Ted, you're right. Like, on the one hand, I'm glad that if you decide to steal from me, you're trying to put it towards something to make your own life right. But also, we're going to catch your ass, man. Like,
yeah.
If
yeah.
you're going to steal, like. Steal cash from me and pay your bills. But if you're going to take my identity, don't pay your bills. Like, go on vacation. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's something.
I was in Ballard at one point in time with Hair Club. Somebody, I left my backpack in his front seat like a dumbass. Somebody bashed in the window and took that backpack. And it also had a credit card in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I couldn't call the bank fast enough. We were probably in that restaurant for about an hour, 15 minutes maybe. Whatever it wasn't that long. So let's say it's that long. As soon as I called the bank, they're like, "Yeah, man, this has been used as a fill-up at a gas station." Yep. I was like, "How much was the fill-up?" They're like, $120-some dollars.
Okay, they're driving a bigger SUV.
That's basically what I was saying.
You know that much.
Whoever this person is has got a big-ass truck.
Yeah.
There's no question, unless they're driving a school bus.
They don't fill up their cars. The trick is you stand there and go, "I don't have cash. Can I fill up your tank on my car?" And you give me the cash
and exchange.
Oh! That's why it had, because I left my wallet in a gym locker, and same thing, I didn't have my lock with me. I was like, "Yeah, nobody's gonna steal it." So I mean, same thing, it's gotta be like an hour. And by the time I realized he was gone, it'd be like an hour and 15, called, same thing, gas had already, two full-ups have already been bought on it.
Jesus.
You know what's crazy though, yeah. man, as much as like people Miles, people make fun of you for writing checks, but checks to me are safer in the sense of, if you have a paper check, one, like, they'll invite their other coworkers around to be like, "This is an artifact," but they will ask for ID. For you to cash that check, they will ask you for ID, right? And that kind of ruins the whole thing. If they take your debit card or credit card,
there's nothing.
I just bounce it off the scanner thing. That's it. No one asks anything. Like, when I was growing up, man, and this was 8,000 years ago, but I remember I'd go with my parents to the store, and if they used a credit card, the cashier had, like, a little phone book-looking thing. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And they would open up this phone book thing, and it was numerical, and they'd have to go through to match the number of your card. If the number on your card matched anything in this phone book thing, then it was stolen. But they only printed these things like once a month. So even if you stole someone's credit card back in the day, you got a month to use it. But like, if you steal it now, man, you could tap that bitch to buy anything you want. No one, my wife uses my credit card. And it blows my mind because I'm like, it is my name. But she's like, they never look to see. If you can tap it, they don't care. If you have a paper check, believe it or not, as antiquated as it is, now you got to slow down and pull out your ID. I'd be more comfortable with someone stealing a check from me than my card.
Right. I got.
I guess I just do everything like wire. I'm trying to think of.
Everybody does it wireless, like, right? But that's the thing.
But what do you write check for?
Once you do it wireless, it's no one asks for ID or any kind of real verification. I mean, that's the whole thing with it. So you can have paper checks. Yeah, antiquated. But if someone has a $10,000 check from you, it doesn't matter the amount. They got to show ID. If their ID does not match the name on the check, which it will not because it was stolen, it's not going to be cash. I don't know if they get busted, but that check gets voided.
My bank's pretty good about this. If I'm in a certain location and I'm still making purchases, I had my account basically hacked. Somebody got my number, and they were running up charges in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still making cash withdrawals and doing things with that same card here in Seattle.
Sorry.
They get a hold of me. Like, you can't be in two places at once. These two transactions happen 5 minutes apart.
Right. So where are you?
They keep trying that. And so they were in San Antonio, I believe, is where these transactions. Because I could see them. I could log in at that point in time when they called me.
Didn't they go bowling or something, too?
They went bowling. All right? But now, okay.
Nice.
They went bowling.
I kind of like these people.
They didn't buy a car. They
just had a good time.
They spent like $72 at a bowling alley. I'm like, all right. But the one, here was the weird part about it. They went to Whataburger, all right? So this is probably about 8-10 years ago. I am unaware of Whataburger.
It's definitely Texas.
Because I'm like, what is Whataburger? What is Whataburger? So I'm talking to the person. They're like, "Sir, actually, our center is located in Austin, Texas."
Ah, okay.
And I was like, "Is that a mom and pop? What is Whataburger? You know, what is this?" He's like, "Oh, no, it's a burger chain." So you know me now. I'm like, "Well, what do they got?" And he's like, so he starts telling me about, I've never heard of Whataburger before. So he starts telling me about, I'm like, "Oh, how is the burger?" So we go from I'm getting ripped off and scammed to me having an in-depth conversation about what this fast food restaurant, what their specialty is, what they have to offer. Like, are they famous for the chicken sandwich?
Do they have anything? Famous for that burger.
Right. Yeah. But at the time, you know what I mean? I had never heard of them before. So we were kind of having more of a conversation about what's on the menu at Whataburger than we were trying to fix all the transactions.
Sir, you really have to try it.
Because he was dead serious. Like, ever in Texas, man, just stop into Whataburger. You know, like, I think you'll like it. It's like, Whataburger, huh? Never heard of that.
Yeah. Well, it's like when people argue fast food burgers, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, In-N-Out comes up, blah, blah, blah. Except in Texas.
So oh, it's just Whataburger.
Whataburger.
I have it on good authority. They're open late.
Who got scammed, duped, or taken advantage of and how? 206-803-RIVE.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
As the story goes, there's getting weak kneed at the sight of Brad Pitt on the silver screen.
What?
Then there's falling hopelessly in love with Brad Pitt, conducting a year-long online romance and sending hundreds of thousands of dollars to the down-on-his-luck actor for cancer treatment.
Yeah, he's down on his luck.
As the BBC reports, a French one, known to the world only as Anne, apparently found herself in the latter camp, ended up sending scammers around $855,000. Per NBC News, the 53-year-old interior designer says in an interview that she was approached online by a woman, supposedly Brad Pitt's mom, who told Anne that her little boy needed someone like me. Anne and the supposed Brad Pitt corresponded via various social media platforms, with the fake actor sending her what turned out to be AI-generated selfies, eventually pleading for money for kidney cancer treatment, claiming that his small fortune was locked up in his divorce battle with Angelina Jolie. At first, I said to myself that it was fake. This is ridiculous. I just got played. I admit it, and that's why I came forward, because I am not the only one. Anne herself was going through a divorce from which she was awarded almost $800,000. All of which and more went to the scammers. The jig was up when Anne spotted pictures last summer of the real Pitt with his real girlfriend. But by now, at that point, the money was gone. The online mockery that has followed her story has been so severe that a lot of sites have actually taken down the interview. A rep for the real Pitt tells Entertainment Weekly, "It's awful that scammers took advantage of fans and their strong connection with Brad Pitt and other celebrities."
Yeah, I can see where the criticism came in, though. Like, I feel bad for her, but also, you're a grown-ass woman. You're in your 50s. You're 97, you're not suffering dementia, you're not 18 years old and starstruck. It's like, man, you're a 50-some-year-old woman. Come on. And Brad Pitt's telling you you can't afford cancer treatment. But you haven't read about any of this.
Right.
You haven't read about any of his struggles. A couple of texts that came in, I like this one. It says, a dude I worked with, his aunt had her ID stolen, and they paid her bills. Why? So they could apply for a mortgage under her name. So they paid her bills. The idea was they wanted to get a mortgage a little bit later on. And someone else here says, oh, man, where is it? Oh, got scammed. This dumbass kid on Xbox Live a long time ago. He was being a douchebag in Halo 3. So I made a second account and pretended to be a cute girl that who didn't know how to play. And he took the bait immediately. I managed to con him out of 2 years of Xbox Live for being his girlfriend for about $150 in Microsoft points. I then transferred all that to my account and deleted the other one. Still don't feel bad about it either. Stupid-ass campers.
Our question, who got scammed, duped, or taken advantage of and how? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kenny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, guys, so don't judge me, but the only people that got hurt was the state of Washington in this scam. And you know how when somebody dies in the state of Washington, the red tape takes 6 months to a year, and then the state goes in and sees all assets?
I did not know this.
Yeah, they have to run through the red tape, probate, make sure there's no survivors, and then if there isn't, the state gets everything, right? So in 1975, me and my boys, a couple of them, we were 16, right? And one of us got this brilliant idea. We'd go through the newspaper, find someone who had died, elderly person preferably, and they would print the address. We'd go to the house at night, break in. The first race was to the medicine cabinet, and then under the mattresses for the cash, we'd get antiques. We ran this scam for 3 years. We'd get antiques, stack them in the yard, pick them up in a dude's car, go out to the swap meet and sell. We were having $400 weekends. And this scam, again, went from when we were 15 till 18, I quit. But I had a vehicle, and they found an address, and I went and dropped them off north end Tacoma. And I was supposed to wait 15 minutes down the street so they could get in, and then once I knew they were in, I was clear to go. Well, about 5 minutes, I heard a gunshot. Jig was up. The cops took them 3 years to figure it out. They ran their own ad and were waiting in the house.
Uh-huh. So did you get busted?
I never got busted. Never did a minute of time on it.
I'll be damned. Okay.
But it was, you know, we took advantage of the state. Nobody got hurt. You know, the people were already passed, but we got a lot of medicine, a lot of gold jewelry, a lot of antique small items, tables. Some of these tables at 75 were 100 years old. Grandma's, we'd get $150 for one little table.
Well, where are you guys fencing all this stuff? Because, I mean, and look, you were 15 to 18, so it's a little more forgivable because I won't even recount what I was doing at those ages, but worse than that. But generally speaking, when you go to someone to fence these products, if you're 16 and you are a regular customer of mine with antiques and jewelry, I know what you're up to. So even the guy that's buying the crap from you is part of the whole process.
Well, yeah, we did it at the swap meets at the old Starlight Drive-In Theater in Tacoma. Used to run swap meets on the weekends in the summer, and we'd take our antiques there. And, dude, I mean, we made some bank. Like I said, this rolled for 3 years till the detectives finally figured it out.
What, did you know the people didn't have families?
Yeah, see, back then when someone died, the like the newspaper people or the coroner would send to the newspaper, hey, this person died, no survivors. They would post the address.
Well, even if they didn't, all you needed to do was look up their name in the phone book, and typically people put their address with their phone number. So at that point in time, the white pages.
Yeah, I don't know which one of the three of us, I didn't do, I wasn't that bright, but one of those two boys, hey, let's go through the paper and do this, and man, it worked for 3 years, and I'm telling you, we rolled in some money those years.
Well, you're right. They still do it. Well, that's an obituary. They don't give the address, but they will say, like, you know, no surviving family members. I'm like, look, man, if you're going to write my obituary, be like, he has 15 sons. All of them are in the MMA, right? I mean, just.
Yeah.
And they were real, real close to
him. By even his dog, who has a gun.
And rabies. Right. I mean, everything. Everyone's going to sound badass.
Invented a gas chamber alarm system for their home.
You know, right.
Whatever it is.
In his booby-trapped home.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe putting the address out there.
Well, it's happening to NFL athletes all the time. The scam is the fact that they are on the field. They are on the ice. Pittsburgh Penguin, I believe just yesterday, reported that I think they were playing Ottawa. And that's when basically they went in and looted his home of all of his jewelry, all of any cash that they could find.
Right.
Whatever was valuable that was, you know, something that they could take, they basically took it. And so the NFL's issued warnings. The NBA has issued warnings. Major League Baseball.
But even with the warning, the problem is, like, you know, if I play on an NFL team, right, even if I'm the third string guy, if I'm on the flight and we're playing in Buffalo this weekend, you know I'm not home. I don't know what, I mean, I could have a house sitter or something like that, but they know you're not there.
Didn't that happen to Gronk?
It happened to Gronk. It's happened to a couple of people
Mahomes,
this past
Kelsey.
Football season, right? Even some of the people with the fires. Not that their house itself is damaged, but they evacuated. Or sometimes just they're shooting a movie somewhere, and you know this person's single, and they know you don't own a dog, so there's no dog sit or anything like that. And people rob your ass while you're over in England, you know, filming some movie, and you don't even know until 3 months later when you get home that this happened. But how many people got busted on that on Facebook? Usually kids.
I was just about to say,
you know,
but also
throwing a big party. My parents are out of town. Right.
Well, and adults do it, though. People go on vacation and post pictures constantly on vacation.
Gone for a month.
And it's not hard to tell. Like, right? Like I know somebody that works for the NSA, and they were like, never put certain information on your Facebook. He's like, it's that simple.
It is. And a lot of people are combing through it for that reason. Like, post your vacation pictures after the fact.
Right.
Enjoyed Hawaii. Here's my hot dog legs.
Yep.
Right. But don't tell them that you're not home.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting a new dog this weekend.
All right.
Yeah. Kind of feisty. It's almost like a pit.
But it walks on two legs, smokes.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that house is going to be empty, so I'll just cruise over.
Really? Man, I tell you what, one of the bigger scams that my buddy used to do, and he kind of told me how to do it, and I did try to apply the scam a couple of times, but I was never successful at it because I couldn't find the right flights. But the idea being, when you travel, as far as the economy goes, it is more about the place that you land. So think about gas prices. They are ridiculously high in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a more rural area, you'll be shocked to find that the gas is half price.
Dude, it's $1.20 cheaper in Philly.
So when you look at it that way, think of the airlines the same exact way. So, for an example, let's just say that you wanted to get a flight to Chicago. Now, that flight to Chicago, maybe they have a major event going on.
Yeah.
Maybe you're flying in on the weekend, there's a convention going on, or the Bears are at home, bad example. But whatever it is.
Reduce cost.
Jack, the hotel price is up and everything else, okay? You're not flying. You are not flying in Chicago. And that's the way that you have to look at this. You're looking at a flight to maybe South Bend, Indiana. You're looking for a flight to Indianapolis, to Huntington, West Virginia, to Dayton, Ohio, to Grand Rapids, Michigan, that goes through Chicago.
Right, that's where your layover
and
is.
The total ticket price of that flight to Grand Rapids, Michigan, might be $275 based on the economy. That same ticket to Chicago is $450. What do you do when that flight lands in Chicago,
where
you get on a different plane to head to Grand Rapids? You take your carry-on, and you get the F off the plane, and now you're in Chicago. And you just saved.
You just can't check a bag.
You just can't check the bag.
Simple.
And to me,
that's not a scam, because they scam you on it. Look, when we went to when the Ravens went to the Super Bowl in 2012, we lived in Seattle, and Miles and I are Ravens fans, okay? So the moment that we knew we were going to the Super Bowl, we're on the phone, and we booked. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. Man, we're buying the Super Bowl tickets, blah, blah, blah. Now, the tickets for the game itself, they cost the same everywhere, unless you're going through hack or whatever they call them.
Whatever ticket broker you got.
Right. So we bought that, but we bought our plane tickets. And believe it or not, they were a little more expensive only because New Orleans is hosting the Super Bowl, but they really weren't that bad.
They weren't crazy.
So when we get there, the majority of people that are going to this game flew from the city of San Francisco and the city of Baltimore for obvious reasons. And when we're talking about the cost of flights, we're like, yeah, I'm stunned that they didn't jack up the price. And then we realize everyone in Baltimore spent about four times as much as we did to fly, even though it's considerably closer to New Orleans than Seattle. But they spent four times as much. Same thing from the people in San Francisco.
We cheated too.
And that's what occurred to us, though, when we said, you know what? If your team goes to the Super Bowl, the best thing you can do, should you be lucky enough to get a ticket, is fly out of a city that is not one of the two home cities, because the airlines, and look, I don't feel bad, man. They jack the price. It's the same flight. Right. They're going to treat you just as piss poor. They're still going to lose your baggage. You're still going to get a Biscoff cookie, but they charge you like you're flying first class to Paris.
Yeah.
Right? Just to get there. But because we were from a city that was not being represented, we didn't spend much more than
you. It wasn't crazy. But then we even cheated that system. So the tickets to New Orleans from Seattle, Seattle's always going to be expensive to fly out of.
Yeah.
Again, it's the destination point. So we picked Biloxi. So we flew from Atlanta, and Biloxi's about an hour away, still on the Gulf of Mexico. We just said, you know what, man? Now these tickets, they're about $150 cheaper.
Right.
Just to fly into Biloxi. We're still going to get a rental car like we would in New Orleans, and we're just going to roll in, drive an hour that day, park our car, go to the game, come home.
Yeah, we stayed in Biloxi as well.
Yeah.
Because we were going to stay in New Orleans, man. It's at the Superdome right off of Canal Street. Yeah, we looked at the hotel prices. Like, we are not doing that. And I cannot remember the price difference. Seriously, an hour drive. Like, driving from here to Tacoma on a heavy traffic day versus staying in New Orleans. It was astronomical, the difference. But the number of people that we met, you know, they're like, man, my tickets were like $2,500. Ordinarily, from Baltimore to New Orleans, it's about a $350 flight. Spent almost $2,500. Their hotels were like $450 a night. This is like the Residence Inn that you get for maybe $119 a night. But everything jacks up. We're like, dude, we're in Biloxi at a casino. I mean, it was awesome. Is that the Jimmy Buffett one?
We were close to that. They had not finished building that yet. It was still somewhat under construction. There's a very nice Hard Rock Cafe hotel.
Is that where we were?
And they have casinos, too.
Yeah,
right?
We were in a casino.
Yeah, there was a casino. Dude, yeah. I mean, this was a full-service Vegas-style casino.
I
want to
say that
it was awesome.
For the Super Bowl festivities, it was like Larry the Cable Guy was...
He was coming to town.
That weekend or whatever the deal
I'd go
was.
See him.
And let me tell you, Biloxi, that's like the second coming of Christ, man. I mean, seriously, like, Larry the Cable Guy is coming to this casino in Biloxi, and it was like the buzz of the town.
And like a week later, it was Ron White. It was all exactly what you think.
Yeah.
would be going through there.
And those people were stoked though, man.
Yeah.
I will say the same thing happens in small towns for college football.
I can believe that.
Right? Like trying to fly from here to say Oxford, Mississippi, it's not that big of a deal. But there's only a few game days a weekend, and that flight from Memphis down there, it's shocking. But they know people will pay it because it's the only way to get down there.
And when you get there to get a hotel room, that's how they get you.
You basically can't.
You can't really. You're handcuffed. Whether you drive, whether you fly, once you get in those small towns.
Oh, yeah.
With those big college football games. At one point in time, they were going to have a high school reunion or something. And they tentatively put this date out because they rented this place in Morgantown, blah, 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 blah. And I think I was talking about 30 year. And that date got moved twice because of Mountaineer home football games.
Yeah.
Because
nobody wanted to pay the cost.
People could not come into town and get a room. You couldn't get a room. And if you did get a room, it was a regular hotel room, maybe $150, $200 a night. This room is now $600. Not only that, but you have to book the room. Game's on Saturday. You have to book Friday and Saturday nights.
Right.
So not only could you not get a hotel room at a reasonable price, but they kind of handcuffed you into booking the entire weekend.
Yeah, throw. I'm not kidding. Like, right, I'm just using Oxford as my nephew goes to school there. But like the Holiday Inn, right? Standard Holiday Inn. Let's call it a Holiday Inn Express or whatever. Sure. Or I stay at the Best Western Plus. I like this. Usually, what, 120, 130 a
that's
night?
About, yeah, it's an average.
That one in Oxford, it's legit like $700 or $800 on these game days because they're just little towns, but everybody shows up. And Oxford, their stadium holds 65, maybe 60,000.
Yeah.
There's another 70,000 people that show up from all over the area just to tailgate and sit outside the stadium.
Just to party.
They are not even worried about going in.
That is amazing. By the way, Miles, you're talking about the buy the plane ticket to a further destination, your layovers and where you want to be.
If you can find it, you just got to put in the right.
They started trying to make it illegal. Somehow.
They did. Well, it says that airplane thing, it's called skip lagging, and airlines are not cracking down on people doing it. Many will ban you for life if you're caught doing it now.
If you don't get on that next plane.
Yeah.
So that's how they would get you.
Right. You did not make it.
But again, there's nothing illegal about. What are they mad about?
Well, here's the thing. There is nothing illegal. It should be illegal that they price gouge, but it's not because they got people to pay that off, right? But they're mad because you're screwing with their business model. So it's not that what you're doing is illegal, but like any private company, you say it is against our policy. There's nothing wrong with you walking barefoot down the street, but 7-Eleven says, hey, no shoes, no shirt, no service, right? So,
hey, what if you
not that what you do is illegal, but if you want to interact with my company,
what if you just go to the counter? Policy. You go to the counter. You say, hey, I just turned my phone on when I got on the plane. This is insane. I have a family emergency back home. I got to turn this thing around. I'm going to go look for a flight home on any carrier as fast as I can. Just know I
they'll be like, get over the line with the skip laggers over.
Yeah, I can't get on.
I guess I'm just thinking, like, you can go to a sporting event, right? And either you could, let's say somebody in your family gets sick, or you get too drunk. Do you know what I mean? You have a stomach bug. It's not like the Seahawks are to come back and be like, you owe us money as you left at halftime. Right. Our policy is you got to stay the whole game. It's like, I already paid this airline.
My father-in-law would love that policy.
Yeah, what do you care if I hop off a thing early? And you don't have to say it because you're right. You just hear it in my voice. I'm like, God damn it, that is just sucky.
It does suck. And it's like we're only trying to beat your system because your system is garbage. I mean, that's legitimately it. Like, if you charge a fair price, people always try to find a way to do something cheaper. But in this case, if you overwhelmingly overcharge for something, then people want to find a way to save
money. Airlines, they can't even keep their lot. It's not just the airlines, TSA, right? So I had gotten in trouble when I was like 23. So when we first lived here, like, I was on probation for 2 years. And I would get extra screening all the time. And I go, because I'm on probation. No, sir, there's nothing to do with it. But now I watch enough of these stupid airport shows. They're like, oh, we know everything. We always take them for extra screening if they're on probation. I was like, I knew it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I wonder what the identifier is. Like, is it database? I mean, huh?
Yeah.
It's database. It's all federal database. If you're traveling through the airlines, like, it's hence your passport, all that kind of stuff. Like, I told you I signed up for Clear a couple of years ago just to not have to stand in this other line, right? And Clear, it's actually a wonderful thing. I think it's like $75 bucks a year, whatever. Yeah, just spend it. Right. That's how you cheat the system, Mike. We have this legal company. I give them $75 bucks. I get a shorter line. But when I signed up for it, right, because you get a lot of people that go, hey, man, I don't want the government knowing stuff about. They already know about you. But I went to sign up for it to verify who I was. I had not put in any information other than my name. They said, we have a few questions for you. So the first thing they did was put my home address that I had not entered in there, by the way. Who was the previous owner of this house? I happen to know. And they give you four options. You don't have to type it in. It is multiple choice. What is the current make of your vehicle? Keep in mind, all I did was give my name. You're already in the system. So if you are paranoid, you're right. They know. I mean, but I signed up for that thing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. You know more about me than I do. Because even when I said the previous owner, I'm like, because the guy went by Tony. When I finally saw Anthony, I'm like, gotta be him.
Is that the guy? Who got scammed, duped, or taken advantage of and how? 206-803-ROCK.